Welcome to Direct Line with Greg Taylor and Stephanie Spangler. Direct Line, religious topics without preaching, mixing politics and religion and not shying away from controversy. You're not going to find all your answers, but you will always find an opinion. This is Direct Line. And now your hosts, Greg Taylor and Stephanie Spangler.
Well, welcome to Direct Line. It's a cold Wednesday, April 3rd edition, and it's going to be a delicious version of Direct Line. And you're probably sitting there saying,
I love their...
So I'm pretty compulsive. I don't know if you guys know that about me or not, but when I find something that I like, I go over the top. So I got into cycling. And then it just is this obsession for me to the point that my wife's like, take it down a notch, big boy. So, you know, I've loved the Mad Goat scones. You've known that for a while, that I've raved about the scones. Well, there's a new obsession that I have, and it's the Mad Goat Pop-Tart. Now, I have talked about that on air a little bit, haven't I?
Oh, yeah, you have.
That I ate the, you know, cheapo Kellogg's Pop-Tarts every day growing up, to the point that I would see the box and, you know, just not excited at all. But I had a Mad Goat Pop-Tart maybe 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. And I thought of you guys. I thought we need to enjoy. And none of you have had Mad Goat Pop-Tarts. No.
Is that right? Let's tell our listeners who we are, because nobody knows who's sitting here
Got, thank you. Why don't you introduce our guests, Stephanie?
Chris Lawler from Catlin Church of Christ and Miles Clark from Crossroads.
Probably the people that have been on the Direct Line the most, not named Greg and Stephanie.
That's
That's
right.
So we've shared a lot together, and none of you have had a Mad Goat Pop-Tart. Is that right?
That's correct.
Garrett, have you had a Mad Goat Pop-Tart? Not yet? Okay. All right. So I am so excited to be able to share with you.
You have built these up.
Raspberry Pop-Tarts and brown sugar Pop-Tarts. So let's all take our raspberry Pop-Tart right now, okay?
I feel like we're having communion.
I know. Well, it kind of is a sort of communal time together, and I want you to taste your Mad Goat Pop-Tart.
Nothing like chewing on air.
Yes, I know. So right now, Garrett's diving in. Stephanie has a bite. Miles just looks satisfied. Chris?
It's good.
So obviously, the first time I had it, I did not think of like the Kellogg's Pop-Tarts that I grew up with. I had some different thoughts. Stephanie, as you're tasting this, what?
Flaky.
Flaky? Mm-hmm. Like maybe a pie crust, maybe?
Kind of,
yeah. Yeah? Okay. Flaky. Miles?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, buddy?
I would agree. That is delicious.
Yeah.
It tastes...
Chris?
Yeah, it's got a scone quality.
Yeah?
But, yeah, definitely not Kellogg's.
Now, you're Mr. Mad Goat. I see you there all the time. Do you ever dive into the pastries and the baked stuff?
Or I have a bad habit of... You're talking about
cycling. Right.
I'm basically like that with food. So
okay.
If I get started, I don't stop.
So yeah, yeah.
Stay away.
Garrett, man, tell us, what do you think, buddy?
It's pretty good. It tastes fresh. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The fresh
taste. Doesn't
taste
processed.
Yes, yes. Well, and I think they were actually baked this morning, I think. I mean, these are at Mad Goat, on site. Yeah, that's what I love about it, you know?
Yeah, they make them.
Yeah.
Fresh, right there. Flaky.
Yes. Now, are you a raspberry person, Stephanie?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay. Mm-hmm. See, I'm more of a strawberry than a raspberry, but I actually think the raspberry Pop-Tart is superior to the strawberry Pop-Tart.
It's got some good icing on it.
It does.
It does.
Yep. It's not that hard icing that's on the...
Although I have learned when I buy multiple Pop-Tarts, we can't stack them. That's my bad, because some of us got ripped off on the icing front.
That's all right.
You know,
you can scrape it off and put it back on.
Yeah. Okay.
Not that anyone's done that.
That's right.
So now we're going to dive into the brown sugar. See what you think about the brown sugar.
Now, the brown sugar of the processed kind is my favorite. Mm-hmm. So I'm anxious to see what this one is.
And you can't see it right now, but they're just going after it. They're they're eating it up.
I wonder if our listeners could hear when I bit it. How you can almost hear the crust.
Yeah.
Could you hear that?
Yeah.
Did you hear it?
So what do you think of when you dive into your brown sugar Pop-Tart? What comes to mind? There's a comparison that I had the very first time.
Kind of tastes like a cinnamon roll.
That's
a little
exactly
bit.
Right.
See,
ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, I was going Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah. Okay. There's a throwback. Yeah. Do they still make Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Do.
Is it still out there?
Do.
Yeah. Okay. So, Steph, I'm putting you on the spot as you take another bite. If you had to pick raspberry or brown sugar, what do you think?
That'd be tough.
What's the thought?
I think I'd have to go with the brown sugar.
Okay. Miles, what do you think, buddy?
I'm a brown sugar person,
yeah.
But
yeah.
The raspberry was actually
it really was.
Yeah. There's great filling in the raspberry.
Yeah.
But man, you can't go wrong with cinnamon.
So all three of you are going brown sugar. If you had to pick one, you'd go brown sugar. Okay?
But I do like the fact that you got us both and we each get half of each one. And
hey, I aim to please. I try to go above and beyond. Garrett, what do you think, buddy?
Yeah, brown sugar.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, is anybody at Mad Goat listening? Do they know that we're doing this?
Two of my favorite gals that I normally see up north were working on the South. And surprisingly, they'd never heard of Direct Line Radio. I was just stunned
to
learn.
Have they heard of AM radio?
I don't know that they'd heard of 1490, but I did tell them that the podcast will drop later today, and they said they're going to tune in. So shout out to our friends at Mad Goat. I love the Pop-Tart.
Well, I will say, though, I'm the only one drinking Mad Goat coffee this morning.
That's true.
I see that.
You know, if I was really good, I would have made a set, because I was at my Mad Goat when they opened at 6 a.m., because I wanted to make sure I got the Pop-Tarts.
Nice.
I would have went back and got, they sell a box of coffee, and I like you guys, but not that much to make two trips that direction.
Okay.
But
you thought of us. I thought that counts.
I think the Pop-Tarts are a great addition to the Danville area.
I do too.
I mean, I think if you want a different, you don't want your
different breakfast,
a different breakfast,
right?
And it's not overly sweet.
Right.
I will say that.
Right.
It's sweet, but it's not overly.
Right.
I don't feel
crazy.
Like my diabetes is going.
Right.
Wah, wah,
right.
Wah, wah,
right.
Wah, wah, wah.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a different option for breakfast.
Yeah.
Well, do you only eat it at breakfast time? Can you eat it for dessert?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
It would be like a good dessert.
Here's the problem. They sell out.
They sell out
early.
Yeah.
We did lunch on a Monday. I can't remember. A bunch of us from staff went to Culver's, and I was going by to get my Pop-Tart at 12:30. She said, "You're about 3.5 hours late."
Mm.
She
you
said,
get
"We sold out at 9 a.m. I don't.
Oh.
Well, they only do them, I think, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Oh.
And I think the key is get them early is the
I'd
deal.
Say so.
So anyway, I wanted to share my new obsession with you guys.
Thank you.
That was yummy.
It was good.
Very good.
So hey, let's do this. Let's go to break so I can finish my Pop-Tart.
So that we can get it out of our mouth.
And when we come back, I want to talk about Holy Week. I want to talk about Easter. I want some reflections from Miles and Chris. Steph, I want to kind of get your take on what we experienced at Second Church. You're listening to Direct Line. It's Wednesday, April 3rd. We'll be right back after this.
You want to be confident that your investments are working for you. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you don't have to go far for the guidance to help make that happen? Dean Crandall works right here in Danville at Morgan Stanley's local office. As your financial advisor, Dean can help create a wealth plan and help you manage your investments, and he can help you work towards a comfortable retirement too. To make an appointment with Dean Crandall, call 217-477-0025. Morgan Stanley Smith Marney LLC. Member SIPC.
Robinson Chiropractic wants you to know that you're never too young or old to benefit from chiropractic care. Robinson Chiropractic can help increase your mobility and range of motion. Plus, regular alignments just make you feel better. Come get acquainted today. Robinson Chiropractic is located at the corner of Vermillion and Poland Road in Danville, also in Hoopston, Westville, and Watsika. Make an appointment today at robchiro.com. That's robchiro.com.
Lakewood Insurance Agency can fulfill your farm and business insurance needs. As a result of our expertise in the insurance industry, we carefully examine your current coverages and recommend options best for your operation. Whether we insure you domestically or directly with Lloyd's of London, Lakewood has the experience to provide the best insurance for you. Service is most important in our agency. Bill and Mary Lou Knight and Justin Silver have your best interests at heart. Find Lakewood Insurance Agency on Facebook or call 217-260-5647.
You know, it's easy to make promises. The hard thing is keeping them. Sunset promises to carry your load at a most difficult time. To the communities they serve, they promise to be there for your children, your churches, and your organizations. Sunset promises to help our veterans. They will support them with the same level of commitment these veterans had as soldiers defending our freedom. I'm Judy Fraser, and if you're looking for a family that keeps their promises, I would suggest you make just one phone call, Sunset Funeral Homes and Cremation Centers.
You're listening to Direct Line on 1490 WDAN.
So welcome back to Direct Line. It is Wednesday, April the 3rd. Or is it April 2nd? It's April 3rd,
no,
right?
No, it's April 3rd.
I've got my date wrong on the script.
Hmm.
Can I tell you, I've got the Easter hangover. I really do, you know?
I call it a letdown.
Yeah, that's probably a nicer word. It's probably a more appropriate word since I've not been imbibing, of course.
Right.
But yeah, I got to tell you, Monday, just in a fog, you know? Now, I did not do what we were instructed to do as a staff. We were told to take the day off.
Mm-hmm.
and just rest. And I did not do that. I had too many things rolling. But I love Holy Week every year. I think this was my favorite Holy Week that I have experienced in my 54 and a half years on this earth. Wow. So I wanted to just ask you guys, Chris, Miles, give me your take from what happened at your churches this last week.
Yeah, this year we did something very, very unique, probably not for everybody, but for us on Good Friday, instead of having a what we might call a passive service where you have a few people on stage and everybody takes it in, which is fine.
Yeah.
We created, our worship minister, Cheryl took lead on this, but we created, 5 or 6 stations in the building, each with a different theme. You know, one maybe dealt with Barabbas and kind of just that Jesus took his place and he takes our place. And each station, you know, told a different story, about 8 minutes or so. And people traveled through those stations, not the stations of the cross per se, but really powerful, you know, one was communion. One was a time just of worship, and then we all met together back in the worship center. But the responses have been really powerful. Every each person's like, "Oh, my favorite one is where they read the story to us," or "My favorite was where you know we you know never thought of Barabbas that way, and then he took our place, or Jesus took our place," you know, and all of those things, and so. Yeah, it was very unique. It was very, very different, and I'm glad we did it. And so that really set up Sunday.
Yeah,
because we took a lot of time to say Friday was dark,
right?
And it was hard, and all of, and so we were definitely as a church looking forward to Sunday. Hey, let's bring the hope.
So I have a theory, and I could be wrong on this, but you know, the three of us, we've been in the Christian Church Church of Christ tribe for many years. I don't think we do all of Holy Week well. I think we do Easter well. Sure, right, I think we're all in on Easter.
I would agree.
But I think I'll say for me, I've missed the mark many years where it's just Easter, Easter, Easter. Mm-hmm. And that is the victory, Resurrection Sunday. But you miss what you're talking about, the soberness, the somberness of Friday.
Yeah,
so that's a great reflection.
Yep. It was good.
Miles? Yeah. I know you were a vacation man, you know?
And that was poor planning on our part. We just didn't realize Easter was early, you know, this year. And so, but in the, you know, in the past, and I appreciate what, in the past, we would put on a passion play on Thursday and Friday. It was just Thursday, then it moved to Friday evening as well, so we would have two showings. But then we kind of fell off of that, and so last week we had the Passion of the Christ shown on Thursday evening. However, because there were other area churches having that kind of didn't do that well. It was a small crowd. I think it was beneficial to those who were there. But as you said, I kind of missed out on it, or I missed out on it because we were on vacation.
Yeah.
And, you know... I'd like to focus a little bit more. Now, the one unique thing for me this year was in preparing the Easter message, the resurrection message, it dawned on me that this was my last time as the teaching pastor at Crossroads.
Yeah.
And so I talked about that a little bit. 25 years, it's the same story.
Yeah.
And we should be joyful and grateful that it is the same story. It does not change.
And just so people know, you are retiring as teaching, but not till January.
Not until January.
But your last Resurrection Sunday as a full-time teaching pastor.
And actually, Terry Goodwin texted the group later and said, "Great job today."
Yeah.
Miles had one more good one in him. So,
That's great. Steph, you and I have talked a lot off air.
Right.
We collaborated a lot leading into it. Talk about Holy Week, your experience.
Well, you just really put a heavy emphasis on the whole week with everybody from your Oasis class on Tuesday. And so I feel like you led the congregation really well as far as let's spend time this week thinking about every part of this week, not just Easter. So I appreciated your leadership on that. And I think, you know, we did a Thursday night, Monday-Thursday service for the first time, and I think it was really well received. I think we'll be doing it again.
I could not believe how many people came.
And what struck me was that people want to be together.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought, well, people aren't going to come because they'll come on Friday. But yeah. I saw lots of people that were on Thursday. They were there on Friday. And I think that's part of the point.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be together in important times. And Easter, Holy Week is an important time. So that kind of struck me Thursday night.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, Thursday was it was the busiest week I've had in a long time, just on a variety of factors. But Thursday night especially, you know, I was really moved by our service. Probably most moving was you had multiple ministry staff at the stations distributing the bread and the juice to the congregation, which I love that. But then I left right away and went to the prison.
Right.
And we were able to kind of have an expanded Monday, Thursday service. Terry and Molly Goodwin were there and just a great time. And, you know, to have my brothers in Christ who are incarcerated come up to me and my friend Toby was there and we were distributing the elements, and to see these men that people would say, I'm not using this description, but they would use the description of hardened criminal with tears coming down their eyes when they hear this is the body and blood of Jesus broken and shed for you. Christ died for your sins. I mean, that might have been the most meaningful part of Holy Week for me, you know, and just the thankfulness, the gratefulness that we heard over and over again made it all worth it, you know.
Because you had to really plan ahead to
we
do
did.
That.
We
I
did.
Mean, you can't just walk into the Danville
with
Correctional
200
Center.
Cups of
You can't just do that. So you had to plan ahead for that.
And I want to give a shout out to Chaplain Chris Easton, who we've had on Direct Line. We need to get back on Direct Line. He worked really hard to make that happen. He's been a great asset. He's been a great advocate for ministry at Danville Correctional Center. And I'm excited about the opportunities. It's moving to me that, you know, they're our neighbors, Steph. We're 2 miles from them. And for most of the history of Second Church of Christ, there was very little connection at all. And that changed, what, maybe 6-7 years ago? I don't know how long ago it was, but led by Dale Daniil, our executive pastor. And, you know, Terry has championed that. Crossroads is actively involved. We're wanting to see more and more churches get involved. I love it a lot. But my highlight, without a doubt, was Friday night. I thought you did a phenomenal job planning a tenebrae service. I don't know if you guys know what a tenebrae service is or not. It's, I think, got roots within Catholicism, but it's basically a service that starts with, you know, your average light. And then just as the service goes on, it gets darker and darker and darker, and you end in darkness. It was a service that had very little preaching, a lot of scripture. Songs, worship songs, but not really stand up and raise your hands in jubilation, but much more reflective. So
in a minor key, often.
Yeah,
sitting there, you're
yeah. I was at practice
reflecting.
With you guys, and you and Bean were singing that song, and I thought, man, should I tell them that they're off key? And then I said something to him, and he's like, "It's supposed to be that way."
It's
like,
a minor key.
Yeah. But the song they sang, the song "Were You There?"
Yeah,
Bailey played cello for us, her first time on the stage, Bailey Wright. And then you had a video that was, talk about the video.
Well, it was just a video that kind of, it portrayed Jesus on the cross and the women that were present, but it showed them taking Jesus off of the cross, which
I've never seen that.
That part you don't really see that often. And there's the tenderness and the care of getting that body off of the cross, and then how Mary just kind of embraced him at the foot of the cross.
It was awesome.
I like that you had them they sat for the whole service, and you had them stand for the last song, which we added a little bit of hope, the song Phil Wickham Sunday's Coming. But you had them stand, and at first I thought, ew, this is weird. But I loved that they ended all standing in the total dark for quite a few seconds. And it just made me think of what it must have been standing at the cross.
Yeah.
What do we do now? Must have been the question. What happens next?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was a fantastic week. Of course, we do Easter at the arena every year. A lot of work goes into that. You know, we had an added challenge this year. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the heat wasn't working.
Yeah. So 40 degrees.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know that I've been that cold since I went fishing in Canada, to be honest with you. I was there all day Saturday, minus, you know, about an hour with my son and my wife for lunch. And I got home that night, and it was a warm day outside.
Right.
And they had the windows open and the heat off. I could not get warm.
Yeah.
You know, I just...
Cold.
But it was a great day. It was a fantastic day. And thanks to everyone that makes that happen. Now, Dale Daniil pranked us pretty good on April Fool's Day.
Are you going to share that?
Oh, my. I don't know if I should or not, but...
Listen up, people. This is a prank.
This is
not
a prank.
Real news here.
So I'm driving home from Urbana. My wife had... Or I'd scheduled an oil change for my wife's car early Monday morning. I'm driving home, and we get this screenshot. And, man, it looked real.
Yeah. From Vermilion County.
Steve Brandy's name was on it. And it said... Palmer Arena to close after what 43 years, something like that. And I was like, oh my goodness,
due to structural.
It was total prank. He was just pranking us. Yeah. But I'm already in my mind thinking, oh, well, what do we do?
You know,
what's our plan? And I actually had a backup plan, which I will not share on the air. But
well, I was a little irritated. I thought, why did they let us in that building yesterday if they knew it was not structurally sound?
And then I think Tracy Thomas had it sniffed. Someone had it sniffed out pretty quickly. But again, that was just an April Fool's Day prank. And can I tell you, I think I'm over the April Fool's Day pranks. I mean, just so many things like in the world of sports, you know, come out there and it's not true. And so I don't know. But
why do we celebrate a day of lying to each other?
Acting yes.
like it's okay.
Especially because people do it every other
wife's
day
birthday.
Anyway.
So
April 1 is your wife's birthday. No joke.
No joke.
Okay.
That's not an April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Joke.
Yeah. So. Well, you want to give a shout out to your lovely wife?
Well, yeah. Just happy birthday.
Yeah.
I won't mention, I'm smart enough to not mention how old she is.
But you've been together for many years. Is that fair to say?
We will celebrate 40 years this year.
Wow. Yeah. Man, that's great. Yeah. Congratulations.
I can't believe she put up with you that
long.
Yes.
Wow. It's miraculous, actually.
Well, hey, I want to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk about some articles that caught my attention. You guys know the name Jordan Peterson?
Yeah.
Interesting news with his spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about the God Bless the USA Bible that is for sale?
I do now.
Did you not know about it?
I did not.
Okay. I'm proud of you that you did not know that.
Just thinking.
And then have you heard of the Christ is King controversy? We'll get into that when we come back. You're listening to Direct Line. It is Wednesday, April 3rd. Greg and Steph with our friends Miles Clark and Chris Lawler. We'll be right back after this.
Hans Tank Wash is proud to support the Women's Care Clinic. Let's hear now from Interim Co-Director Mariah Hansen.
Women's Care Clinic in Danville provides the love and support every woman deserves during pregnancy. The best news is all our services are free. Free pregnancy tests, free ultrasounds for pregnancy confirmation, and even free consultations with medical professionals. And that's not all. We offer parenting education, mentoring for moms and dads, and help with adoption planning. We also work closely with many community agencies for all the support our families need. More than anything, Women's Care Clinic offers hope, compassion, and care to our clients of every age and background. We'd love to have you join us. To learn more, volunteer, or make a gift, visit danvillewcc.org or call 217-431-0987. Women's Care Clinic in Danville, changing lives one decision at a time.
Robinson Chiropractic wants you to know that you're never too young or old to benefit from chiropractic care. Robinson Chiropractic can help increase your mobility and range of motion. Plus, regular alignments just make you feel better. Come get acquainted today. Robinson Chiropractic is located at the corner of Vermilion and Poland Road in Danville, also in Hoopston, Westville, and Watsika. Make an appointment today at robchiro.com. That's robchiro.com.
You want to be confident that your investments are working for you. Wouldn't it be nice to know that you don't have to go far for the guidance to help make that happen? Dean Crandall works right here in Danville at Morgan Stanley's local office. As your financial advisor, Dean can help create a wealth plan and help you manage your investments, and he can help you work towards a comfortable retirement too. To make an appointment with Dean Crandall, call 217-477-0025. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC. Member SIPC.
You're listening to Direct Line on 1490 WDAN.
Welcome back to Direct Line. It's Greg and Steph with Miles and Chris, and just a great first Wednesday in April. Hey, guys, did you see the weather forecast that I sent your way? Snow
yes.
at 9:45.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about
it. Excited
that.
About that,
yeah.
Chris?
Not at all. Not even a little.
Ooh.
Yes. Steph, we could not do Direct Line. We're in year 5 of Direct Line Radio, and we couldn't do it without some incredible sponsors. Who are we saying thank you to?
Don and Deanna Witzel with McDonald's, Chris and Dacia Robinson with Robinson Chiropractic, Bill and Mary Lou Knight with Lakewood Insurance, the Darby family with Sunset Funeral Home, the team at Hans Tank Wash, and Dean and Gina Crandall with Morgan Stanley.
So we were talking off air about Jordan Peterson. Chris, I'm going to put you on the spot. For people that are listening that have no idea who Jordan Peterson is, how would you describe him?
Yeah, Jordan Peterson, man, I don't think he's just come on the scene. I think he's just become mainstream for more. But I would say conservative, not Christian, but conservative.
Yeah.
In his views, therapist, counselor, psychologist, teacher, professor.
Canadian, just, right?
That I don't know.
I think he's in Canada.
I didn't know that.
But
just he is, I would say, one of our culture's lead thinkers right now. And bringing a kind of a... I'd say not a new perspective, but a very controversial perspective to the the world, in that he really believes there are things such as foundational truth,
right.
It's incredible. But I was just saying to you guys, he's brilliant. Really, whether you agree with him or not, he's brilliant.
Right. Miles, what would you say about Jordan Peterson?
Well, everything that Chris just brought up, I think he's courageous. I believe that he is the foundation is very much of truth. I also agree that he sometimes is really over my head at times.
Yeah.
But I think passionate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He
yeah.
is so passionate, and it's all about, you know, some of the stands that he's taken have been on the gender pronouns and different things, because in Canada, those are labeled as hate crimes if you don't use them.
Right.
And so he's taken a stand. He's been, I think he's persecuted.
And I
do think he, but I just think he's so passionate. Yep.
So Steph, one thing about Jordan Peterson is he's not a Christian, you know, by his own admission. Now, when I've listened to him, you would think you're listening to a Christian, a brilliant Christian. Mm-hmm. But what caught my news is that his wife recently converted to Catholicism, and she says that the reason that she converted to Catholicism is as she was fighting terminal cancer. She says that saying the rosary and other prayers really helped her in this battle against cancer, and she was confirmed recently into the Catholic Church at an Easter Vigil Mass at Holy Rosary Church in Toronto. And so I want to ask you guys, because you know a little bit about him, is that what it's going to take, you think, for Jordan Peterson to make that step, take that plunge, declare, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? What do you think?
I would say, I don't know, I have no idea whether this would be the thing. I certainly don't see it as harmful. I think it certainly can help him. One thing I've observed is, although he is brilliant and he knows what he believes and why he believes it, I've never gotten the impression that he is unwilling to consider something outside of his own box.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to him talking about faith and Christianity and these things, he is open, and he has been openly moved by the narrative and the story of Jesus. So I don't think he is I don't think he's agnostic about it. I think he has a view.
Right.
And so I sense that it would not take a huge jump for him to bow the knee.
Yeah.
Well, I would say, and I think because of the personal nature of it, that's what's going to make the difference.
Yeah.
Because he has been, he has actually been confronted by evangelists and believers, and he still just won't make that move from, you know, what makes sense to him.
Yeah.
To faith.
Yeah.
I mean, total faith.
Yeah.
So,
you know, last week, Steph and I, is just the two of us, and Garrett, the sound guy, of course, and we talked about John Kestelein. And I don't know if you guys have listened to that podcast, the Bible Bistro podcast or not, but, you know, he's the most brilliant person I ever studied with by a long shot. And yet he had these internal struggles. Right. And, you know, he said it really came down to faith. Yeah. Well, just washing his wife's feet, but just the reality that maybe I need to slow down on the intellectual struggles, you know, and have faith and believe it. I think of that time with Jesus. Someone came to Jesus and said, "Help!" I think he said, "Help me with my unbelief."
I do believe.
Yeah,
help my unbelief.
Help my unbelief. Yeah. And, you know, Jesus is like, believe, you know?
Right.
So, have you followed the Christ is King controversy that's unfolding?
Just a little bit.
So on Easter Sunday, I had the opportunity to lead our church in receiving the elements of communion. And one of the things I declared is that, you know, we're here to celebrate the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Can't do the resurrection without the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. And the crucifixion and the resurrection declare that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have anybody get upset with me. I haven't received a single text or an email confronting me. That's pretty standard theology. Doctrine.
Yeah.
But there is a controversy that's emerging where some people that are not Christians are using the phrase Christ is King, especially on social media, mm-hmm. to send anti-Semitic messages. Mm-hmm. And so I am repulsed by this. I've got to just say that. It's just so frustrating to me that people would use something that I consider so sacred and so central to the hope that we have, that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when they don't believe it. You know, I mean, guys like Andrew Tate, guys like Nick Fuentes, you know, that that they definitely have a worldview, and it is not a Christian worldview in any way, shape, or form, but they're using that to try to, you know, gin up anti-Semitism. So what do we do about that? What should Christians do about that? Because one person came out, I don't think he's a Christian, but he said, well, it's easy, just stop saying Christ is King. Why? Give me a break. You know, we're not going to do that. What do you think the answer is?
I think the answer is to call it out. You know, ask them what they mean. Confront them on the fact that if you're going to make that proclamation, I mean, your life better line up with it.
Yeah.
Because if you're using it, you're slinging it as a weapon or as a tool to bring hatred upon a group of people.
Yeah.
Then obviously he is not your king. And I just think they ought to be called out on it.
Yeah.
And especially Fuentes and Tate.
Yeah. So. I think it's really dangerous to lean into people that have like a little bit of the gospel message or a little bit of Christianity, but the bulk of their life and the bulk of their work does not line up. I don't know if you guys know the name Richard Dawkins or not. Mm-hmm. Oh, Richard Dawkins in an interview this week says that he considers himself a cultural Christian.
Oh,
now, would you call him maybe the leading atheist
right? He is now.
But he said, I love the cathedrals. Mm. I love the hymns. He said, no, I don't believe a word of it. But he said, I think we're better for the cathedrals. Right. I think we're better for the hymns. Steph, what do you think about that, worship leader Steph?
I just think it's all confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand what these people are trying to do. They're saying Christ is King and using it because the Jews, Jews crucified Jesus?
That's the whole idea about it. And, you know, Hitler did that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Part of the Hitler message when he was just getting going in Germany is we've got to exterminate the Jews because they killed Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think they quote Matthew, I think, is the gospel that they quote. And that's shameful. Absolutely shameful behavior.
Yeah, and I don't use the term often, but it is blasphemous.
Yes.
It is to use Christ in that way to propagate something that is agenda-driven and certainly anti-Jesus, who, by the way, was Jewish.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And actually, the whole Richard Dawkins thing, I'm leaning into that Sunday. My favorite text to preach, sorry, I'm throwing paper clips. The favorite text to preach the Sunday after Easter is John 21. You know, and that's where Jesus, the miraculous catch, and they have breakfast, which anytime Jesus is like, come eat breakfast with me, that's my kind of scripture right there.
Like Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts.
But, you know,
me to it.
I think the Richard Dawkins approach is be a cultural Christian, go to the beautiful cathedral, sing the hymn. You don't have to believe any of it, but just show up.
Right.
That is the antithesis of what Jesus said to Peter.
Right. Yeah.
Peter's like, man, it is time to stop playing games, you know?
Yeah.
It's go time. And you look at the book of Acts, and Peter got going, and John got going, and they changed their world in a great way. Speaking of blasphemy, Bibles. What's your favorite Bible version?
I don't know, but you pointed at me. You said speaking of blasphemy, you guys couldn't see that. I'm like, I'm concerned.
Favorite Bible to use, version?
Personally, the ESV. I like ESV, but I preach primarily from the from the NIV.
Okay. Mm. Miles, what about you, buddy?
I like the ESV, but I preach from NIV, and that's simply because that's what most of our folks use.
Stefani?
Well, I do like the ESV, and I don't get asked to preach, so, my Bible is NIV, but when I transcribe, I love it when the preacher uses the ESV.
Yeah. My favorite, believe it or not, is the New Revised Standard Version, but I never preach from it. I preach from the NIV. It's what I learned. But did you know there's a Bible that you could get? It's called the God Bless the USA Bible, and it's being sold by former President Donald Trump, only $59.99. And not only does it have the Bible, but it has like the Declaration of Independence. Amendments and the Bill of Rights and
Constitution.
And the song lyrics.
And the song lyrics.
Yeah, to God Bless the USA. Miles, what do you think about that? Is this a good thing? Do you have your copy yet?
I do not.
Okay.
All right. When you sent this, I was like, oh, he's really trying to get us in trouble. Because I'm sure this is going to tick some people off. I don't believe the two should be together at all.
Right.
Now, I'm going to take the stand. I can't remember which seminary director or professor said this.
Yeah.
But I do think they're important. Mm-hmm. But don't put them together.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I'm proud to be an American. And I think we ought to read the Constitution.
I think we ought to know. Yeah. And
but our citizenship is in heaven.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's what the Apostle Paul said. Chris, since I pointed at you and said blasphemy.
Yeah, the blasphemous one.
Redeem yourself here.
I'll do my best. I actually love my copy. So I found myself asking, you know, how would I feel if it were reversed and Biden did this?
Yeah, yeah.
And I would be repulsed and angered. Yeah. And I think people should feel the same way. It's pandering at its finest. It's, you know, I believe that not only should we love our country and pray for our country, I have great respect for our country, but the two are not equal. It's not like the word of God and the Constitution are the same.
Yeah.
But it does reveal that I think on the right more than on the left, and even though I'm super conservative, I think to most, is I struggle mightily with the idea that somehow, you know, I use it as one phrase, God and country, is that somehow in a lot of places, the idea is my love for my country is almost the same as love for God.
Right. Yeah.
And the two are not meant to be the same.
Right. Right.
But there is a part of our culture that eats this up.
Trying to pull us
and
that direction.
And he knows it.
Yeah.
Trump knows it. And you know, obviously there's some financial needs that he has right now.
Right.
But this, I feel like it makes me sick.
Steph, do you enjoy reading your copy of the God Bless the USA Bible?
I don't have my copy, but I am going to take a different stance than you guys.
Let's do it.
So on social media last week, one of my Democrat friends said something about the orange man is selling Bibles. And I'm like, what? What are they talking about? I had no idea.
Yeah.
So
now
I know what she was talking about.
Yeah.
I think like we have a Celebrate Recovery Bible that we hand out.
Yes.
That has stories in it that are not Bible.
That's true.
And we don't have a problem with that.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to go buy one.
Right.
Well, you can.
But I don't have a problem if it's the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, if nothing has been changed with the Bible part
the text,
of it.
Yeah.
If they are just adding this political stuff, I don't care if people buy it, as long as the Bible is correct in there. I think we do it with other, like, again, CR. Are you going to say take out the CR Bible?
Yeah. No. I think part of it, you've got to go with what is their motivation?
Yeah.
What is their agenda? And with the CR Bible, I would argue that the agenda is for healing, for inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
This is... I'm just going to say it's a political thing.
Oh, definitely.
And so the agenda is what. So to put it together, again, may not be the worst thing, but it's the reason that it was
motives behind it. But can I say something? You said something I really liked. You said one of my Democrat friends. And I think that is a crucial piece in this because I think the powers on both sides want us divided. They don't want you to have Democrat friends. They don't want you to have, you know, if you're a Democrat, to have Republican friends. And that's the thing I love about Jesus. Jesus didn't come to take sides. He came to take over.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always bringing people together. And sometimes there were people that didn't fit, like tax collectors and prostitutes, you know?
And that's, I mean, that is a great statement that you made, to be able to have friends that you can discuss things with and talk things with. But that's kind of the point of why I am really kind of adamant against this, what's happening with this God Bless the USA Bible.
Right.
Because honestly, each side is trying to push us to the extreme.
Right. Mm-hmm. Each side is saying, if my opponent wins, there's no more America. Yep. I mean, literally, they're both saying that.
Right.
And whatever the election day is, was it November 6th, 7th, something like that, the next day, Jesus is still going to be the King
of
Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah, you know?
That's right.
Now, do I have a preference?
But don't say Christ is King.
Now, do I have a preference? I do have a preference. But, you know, sometimes the guy that I vote for wins, And sometimes the guy that I vote for loses, and we're going to be standing, leading our church in worship the Sunday after.
Yeah,
so
right.
Anyway.
I don't know. I just think if someone gets a hold of a Bible and they read it.
Yeah,
I don't.
That's
I
the
don't
most
know.
Important thing. Read
and
your
I
Bible.
I don't disagree with that at all. Yeah. I think it's a good perspective is to be reminded that the Bibles are good.
Yeah.
My struggle is it is using God's word, the Bible, to, no pun intended, but to trump up support.
Yeah. Yeah. Manipulatively.
And I struggle with that. Mm-hmm. If people get the Bible, they read it, great. And if the Constitution's in it, as long as no one is, you know, claiming the two are both inspired, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But my struggle, it's a clear attempt to say we have God on our side and, you know, it's trumping up support.
I mean, Steph, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I can't remember who we had on, but we talked about the problem that today many self-described evangelical Christians never go to church. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a political connection much more than it is a faith-based connection. And that's not good, in my humble opinion. But I got to tell you, I'm tired of talking about this. I want to go to break because I've got some exciting stuff I want to talk about, like Illini basketball women's basketball and baseball. You're listening to Direct Line. It is Wednesday, April 3rd. Chris Lawler, Miles Clark with Greg and Steph, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Deanna from the Witzel Family McDonald's. Our family and staff enjoy being a part of your family's lives. From a stop at McDonald's on your way to work or planning a lunch with friends or coworkers, we understand
you need quick and friendly service with hot and fresh food. I'm Don Witzel. We strive to fill that need every day. Whether you're on your way home
from school or work, the Witzel Family McDonald's are waiting to serve you an afternoon snack or family dinner. This is Rob Witzel, along with my wife, Haley. We're thrilled to now be
serving our customers in Covington, Indiana. As a member of the family, we're proud
of
the
team's commitment to all of our customers and communities of the Witzel Family McDonald's in Covington, Danville, Georgetown, Hoopston, and Oakwood. This is Jason Spencer. Along with my wife, Katie, we invite you to
stop
by
your favorite Witzel Family McDonald's today. At McDonald's, we're a part of every community.
Now is a great time to join the Witzel Family McDonald's team. Competitive compensation, flexible hours, and locations across the area make McDonald's a smart choice. Apply today at McHire.com. That's McHire.com. Joining the Witzel Family McDonald's team is only a click away.
Hi, I'm Linda Darby, and I'm part of the third generation of Darbys to own Sunset Funeral Home in Memorial Park. Since the 1960s, our family has been proud to serve Vermilion County by providing unmatched dedication and personalized service to families.
And I'm Ross Darby. I'm part of the fourth generation in our family business. I want to introduce you to Hall of Fame plaques and signs. We promise to provide you with the same level of service at our sign shop that you've grown accustomed to at our funeral homes and cemetery. With a name like Hall of Fame,
it's gonna be great!
Lakewood Insurance Agency can fulfill your farm and business insurance needs. As a result of our expertise in the insurance industry, we carefully examine your current coverages and recommend options best for your operation. Whether we insure you domestically or directly with Lloyd's of London, Lakewood has the experience to provide the best insurance for you. Service is most important in our agency. Bill and Mary Lou Knight and Justin Silver have your best interests at heart. Find Lakewood Insurance Agency on Facebook or call 217-260-5647.
You're listening to Direct Line on 1490 WDAN.
Well, welcome back to Direct Line. It's Stephanie with Greg and our friends Miles and Chris. And I just am going to call this the Pop-Tart edition.
Episode.
Yeah, the Pop-Tart
edition. That's how I'm going to label it. I send Tommy B a description every week, and I'm going to call it the Pop-Tart episode.
But make sure you put Mad Good.
Well, that's how I'm going to celebrate it when I take those leftover ones.
Yeah. Are you going to share them with your wife?
That's right.
I don't know. Well, Greg, tell us some stuff that's going on that you want to talk
about. You know, I love serving Second Church, and there's some things that I want to promote. We have a Ladies Spring Brunch that's a week and a half away. It's on Saturday, April 13, 10 a.m. Steph, you and your daughter are going to sing, and Jake Weiss's aunt's flying up from Texas. Mm-hmm. You can get your tickets. Call the church office at
217-442-7306.
Praise God for that sticker. Secret Church is Friday night, April 19, from 6 p.m. to midnight. The focus this year is the Book of Ruth, and you can go for free. Reach out to me, greg@secondchurch.com. Now, that you may say, do I really want to come study for 6 hours on a Friday night? And the answer is absolutely yes, because David Platt has really found something, and hundreds of thousands will be participating. So if you're interested, reach out to me. We do an annual Abides Food Pack, and that is going to be on Saturday, April 27, the morning at church. That's just a great time. Anybody's welcome to come, but we would like you to sign up ahead of time. We're hosting New Testament University. You'll know this name, Chad Ragsdale.
Chad.
From Ozark Christian College is going to be with us and teaching on the book of Hebrews from 2 to 5 p.m. on that Sunday afternoon. And the Oasis Bible study this month is diving into the book of Judges. Steph, you'll like this. This week we're looking at Deborah, the judge.
Yeah.
Deborah led Israel. Yeah. And so I dove a little bit into complementarianism and egalitarianism and just put everybody to sleep. But that's another story for another time. Hey, I want to talk about Illinois basketball. Best season in 19 years. Now, Miles, you're an Illini fan, aren't you?
Yeah.
How would you describe the year overall?
Oh, the year was great. Yeah.
Saturday, not so much.
Oh, no.
So I'm at Easter at the arena with Stephanie and, you know, 100 of my other friends, and I'm not watching the game, and I check the score, and it's 23-23, and Charlie Jeffers and I, we bond over Illini basketball. We're like, man, all right, they caught them. Maybe they can do this. And then the next thing I know, it's 53-23.
Wow.
A 30-0 run.
Wow.
Now, I want to tell you, Stephanie, about what happened to me. I was really bummed out because I didn't think they would beat UConn. UConn's the best team in the country. Mm-hmm. But I thought they could compete. I thought it could be a close game, and it just ended up being blowout city. So one of our church members, wonderful person, greeted me Sunday morning with, if I were you, I would be embarrassed and ashamed to be an Illinois fan, and I would never wear Illinois gear ever again. And
happy Easter.
I think to myself, that's the problem with sports today. You know, I remember in 2003 when the Cubs came out of nowhere and made it to game 7 of the NLCS, and it was a heartbreaking loss. You remember that, my friend.
5 outs.
But you know, the idea that because they blew that, I'm going to tear up my jersey and I'm never going to cheer for my team again. But I think that's the world we live in. Mm. You go to the social media, especially Twitter, people have lost their minds. You know, they want Brad Underwood fired?
Yeah.
Are you crazy? And one more thing, Stephanie. You know, several weeks ago, you texted me during an Illini game. You were watching the Illini game, and I said, we're going to have to get you a shirt.
And I said, where's my shirt?
And, you know, it was that Saturday that you wore your Illini shirt, which you look very good in orange and blue.
Maybe that was the bad luck.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not wear
that shirt. So here's the question. Are you going to keep wearing the orange and blue?
Oh, yeah, on occasion.
Okay. Because anytime there's an Indiana Hoosier that embraces the orange and blue, I just love it. Yeah. I think it's great. Now, Chris, you reminded me today that baseball season's back. I got my Cubs jacket right here. Are you excited about the Cubbies?
Absolutely. My girls and I, we love Cubs baseball.
Yeah. Do you have Marquee Network?
We do.
Oh,
we
man,
do.
You're blessed,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, it is. Well, and Emma, our 18-year-old, she loves baseball. She loves the Cubs. It's crazy to see how much she does.
Yeah.
But we have watched at least a portion of every game, and the entirety of most of the five games they've played so far. Yeah.
3-2.
Yeah.
Praise God for the Colorado Rockies, right?
And we fly the flag. We've got the W flag. We fly proudly.
I love it. And then I want to tell you something that happened at my house on Monday night, I think it was. Marla was doing her math grading like she always does, and she walks into the room, and I'm watching women's basketball. I'm watching Caitlin Clark in Iowa, and she just, what is wrong with you? I can't believe you're watching. Man, that's some good basketball. Mm-hmm. That girl can play. I'm wearing Iowa Hawkeye colors today.
Purpose.
I think it was actually an accident, but I thought of that when I got here.
Isn't that also Purdue colors?
Let's not say that.
Purdue.
Although, actually, I am happy for Purdue. I am happy for Purdue that they made it to the Final Four.
Are you happy for Purdue because they have that tall guy?
Zach Edey? He's 7'4".
If they didn't have him, would they...
I don't know. But I am happy for him. I actually cheer for the Big Ten, even when Illinois is out, typically, you know. And I know that the Purdue fans have been long suffering. Don't forget last year, they had the most embarrassing loss in the history of the NCAA tournament. They were a number one seed, and they lost to a 16 seed, and now they're back in the Final Four. And so I bet Purdue fans are glad that after last year, they didn't tear up their Purdue show and throw it away, right?
Back to Caitlin Clark, though.
Yes. Man, she's amazing.
Wow.
She is amazing. And, you know, the game they played was a rematch from the national championship game last year. When that game ended last year, the best player for LSU taunted her, you know, all the way around the court. I just, the worst act of unsportsmanship I can ever remember. Right. And I wondered to myself, what's Caitlin Clark going to do? She's going to get her revenge. And you know what she did? She shook her hand and she gave her a hug and was all class. And so Shout out to her. And so I don't know if I'll keep watching that, women's basketball, but
girl,
it's pretty good
that
stuff.
That girl can shoot.
She can play. She really goodness. Can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, thanks for joining us on this Pop-Tart episode of Direct Line Radio. Garrett, thanks for all you do. And next week, Mariah Hansen from the Women's Care Clinic will be with us, along with hopefully a couple board members. In the meantime, get to church on Sunday. Mm. Thanks for listening to Direct Line, and we will see you next week.